welcome to the Brief Our Blue Bahamas podcast, where we promote the conservation of the Bahamian marine environment that sustains our way of life. I'm your host, Crystal, and today we're talking about youth leading the climate movement. And we are sitting with the Bahamas Youth Climate Ambassadors for 2024-2025, Javon Sands. Hey, Javon.
Hey.
And Wainisha Saunders.
Happy to be here.
And we're going to talk about their journey in climate advocacy and the importance of youth voices in national and global environmental conversations. And we'll also talk about the success of the 2025 Bahamas Youth Climate Conference, where we had students come together from across the country to learn, collaborate, and lead. So we'll just jump into it now with Javon. I'll ask you first. What was your experience like? What was your journey like getting into the Youth Climate Ambassadorship?
Well, I'll start from the very beginning. I think what first brought me into the space was doing research on climate adaptation and resilience in small and developing states through a course in my undergrad that took me to the Conference of the Parties in Egypt, which through that process, I kind of connected with the CCAU that kind of hosts the ambassadorship, and had help from them in like reaching out to people for my research. And then I presented that research to the CCAU and the SDG unit at the Office of the Prime Minister. And from there, they pointed me to the Youth Climate Ambassadorship to get more involved. I applied that first year, didn't get it. And then later on in my senior year, I met Wawa Gather, who's a Rhodes Scholar, and she was friends with someone who had applied to both the Rhodes and the Youth Ambassadorship previously. So she was like, you should definitely apply again. Like, we talked a lot about climate action and different things. He works on Black girl environmentalists in the U.S. And so that re-inspired me. I applied several times and got in the second year after submitting my application like more than five times to make sure they saw it. And since then, I have been working in the space through media, through connecting with different organizations, through representing the country internationally, through trying to build climate education forums for the Bahamas. And so that's been like the defining feature of my work as a youth climate ambassador.
You are incredibly impressive, Javon. And you said that you've already, how old are you? How old are you again?
I'm 23.
You're 23 years old, and you just said that you have experience. You went to the Conference of Parties, you went to COP, which is an international assembly, essentially, for climate. It's the environmental assembly for global climate issues and advocacy. And also, you presented research. So at 23 years old, you've been presenting research. That is incredibly impressive. And also, I like that you, as a Bahamian youth, right? You're a Bahamian young man doing this work and actually getting this far. This, to all our listening audience, this is what we need to look up to. This is what we need to aspire for. This is when we talk about young people making the change, going out there and getting this experience and seeking more for you know, for education and Bahamian excellence, right? This is the type of things that we're talking about. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Javon. And I want to move over to Wainisha. Wainisha, could you tell us a little bit about your journey, your experience, just like some reflections from what you would have been able to do or during this or accomplished during your ambassadorship?
Well, what I always say is that my story is a bit different from Javon. I actually didn't even know you applied before. I can't tell. I don't know why I didn't give it to you the first time. But anyway, when starting out in climate change and even sustainability, I'm actually studying law in university, and it wasn't until 2019, Hurricane Dorian, I always share the story where, you know, the hurricane tore our country apart, and we had so many persons that lost their lives, lost their homes, lost their livelihoods. And I think, you know, it still has an impact on Bahamians who had to go through that such such a dramatic and severe natural disaster. So from Hurricane Dorian, I just asked myself, like, what can I do in this space? How can I show up? And one thing that I noticed is that there were so many young people from small island developing states that weren't at the decision-making table when it came to climate change or sustainability. They weren't using their voices. They weren't advocating. So when I saw the opportunity to apply to be a climate youth ambassador, I said, okay, this is a good jump start for the career that I want to go into, because with my degree with law, I actually want to do climate justice, and I do want to work in that space where I am working in like public policy and international affairs for the Bahamas in the climate space. So honestly, that the 1 year experience, I also went to COP. I didn't go to Egypt like Javon, but I was in Baku, Azerbaijan last year, and it was an amazing experience. I was able to meet so many young people from small island developing states and around the world who also have the same interest and heart and passion for their country, you know, and wanting to protect those on the front line and vulnerable communities like our own. So my journey was a little different, but I'm happy to say that, you know, something that was meant for bad for our country, we're able to rise up, not just myself, but persons like Javon and other youth climate activists that's passionate about now advocating for our country in these global spaces.
When you show that is a very, very inspiring story. And you have been traveling. Many Bahamians do not have the opportunities or you don't think of being a young person and having this level of exposure when you show up. You know, you have been across the world. You've been in different places regionally, you've communicated with other ambassadors, and these are official ambassadors from other countries, and rubbing shoulders with other youth from in small island developing states who have a similar plight, right? You talked about Hurricane Dorian. Hurricane Dorian is so important in the global climate conversation, yet the Bahamas is more or less a little voice, right, in that. And so with our youth and our leaders as well stepping up to talk about these things and being at COP and being at these international assemblies where we get to talk to people and share our experiences and how it has impacted us to try to prevent and adjust and adapt to climate change issues. We see this year we've had a lot of fires here in the Bahamas. We've had flooding in the United States and other places around the world where you see that you can't ignore it any longer. It's getting harder and harder and harder to do, right? Extreme heat waves. Like, this is one of, I think, the earliest heat advisories we've had in this year alone. Like, it's been so hard to ignore. And I think that right now, this conversation about climate is just really, really essential for the country. So I want to ask you now, I know you've talked about, you know, the whole journey and everything that you've done. What do you think, and this is thrown out to both of you here, what do you think the biggest takeaway was from this experience as youth climate ambassadors?
I think for me, the biggest takeaway is that we need more hands on deck. And the only way to achieve that really is through shoring up our education. And I mean on a national level. I think our education system has to be fit for purpose. And that purpose right now, the changeful moment that we're in, is moving towards climate action on a national level, because climate change intersects with all of the other challenges we have as a 52-year-old nation. I think that we need to shore up our education system as quickly as possible. And that was my biggest takeaway, because I kind of moved into this like looking at how to promote adaptation and resilience, and the wall that we hit was that people don't know, people aren't aware, people aren't engaged in the way to think about these things because the education system is not fit for that purpose.
So Wenisha, I'm going to jump over to you. What was your biggest takeaway from this whole experience?
I mean, I actually totally agree with Javon. One thing that I've learned over the year and a few months as an ambassador is that it's definitely not a one-man band situation. You do need a team of persons working alongside you. You do need other young people, you know, working alongside you. And, you know, I took away from my experience as an ambassador that just education is so important. Like, it is so, so, so important, similar to what Javon said, is that what we have seen over the past year and some is that, honestly, young people, honestly, they don't know, they aren't aware. They do know that the weather, it's super hot now. Like more hot than regular, right? And then everybody could feel that. And then we're seeing the floods in the U.S. Like, mm-hmm. we're seeing natural disasters before our own eyes. And, you know, young people jokingly say, like, why are we a part of this generation where we have COVID and we have hurricanes? And it's like everything is happening, you know, within this generation. And it's scary. But I'm still hopeful and optimistic, even despite the lack of education. You know, after the Climate Change Youth Conference that we hosted, I did see still, you know, young people that aren't actually, like, in the space or studying, but want to now. And they want to learn more. And they want to know how they can be a part of climate action and what they can start even themselves, you know. So it shows me that there's still hope. There's still young people, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, even 18, and early adulthood that want to start nonprofits, want to start organizations. And I'm just so happy to support them in that regard. So my biggest takeaway is that all is not lost in our home, the Bahamas. I feel like we are going to have some environmentalists. We're going to have a person studying law. We're going to have climate scientists, you know, people that can really work alongside the government and even our educational system to continue to educate not even just young Bahamians, but Bahamians generally, because we even have some adults that isn't aware. Or you know, when I told my mom last year that I ordered some life vests for the entire house, she was like, "Oh, why? Oh, you shouldn't like put that out in the atmosphere." I said, "No, mommy, this is just in case, yeah. Because half of my household can't swim, yeah. So just in case, you know, something happens, it's a flash, something. You guys have life vests. We're safe. We're covered, and you know, we're taking the necessary steps." And even though that was like taboo for her, I have some friends that live in Grand Bahama, mm-hmm. that's like everybody in the whole island, like they got life vests and they got canoes. And they like literally, because it was such a traumatizing experience, Hurricane Dorian, that they're now forced to be educated. They're forced to be aware. They're forced to watch the news forecast. They're forced to educate their kids, you know, if this was to happen, if we were to be separated, what to do. And you know, it is a scary reality, and you don't want to scare Bahamians. Our country is still beautiful, and I never want to leave home. I can go for 2 or 3 weeks, but I always come back home. But we still have to do our endeavor best, you know, to work together as a community, as a Bahamian community, especially, like Javon said, turning 52. We've done so much, and I'm so grateful to the Office of the Prime Minister and the Climate Change Unit pushing the youth forums and, you know, picking ambassadors to go and educate these young people. But there's still much more that we can do with embedding this climate change and sustainability, the environment itself, into our educational system.
So that's awesome, Renisha. That is, and what, when you were saying, you know, when you were here talking about all these things, it made me think of, you know, you and Javon have done so much, and you are shining examples of what we need to do to empower our youth, right, in the country. And it's great that our country offers this program. 10 years ago, this program didn't exist, right?
Yeah.
This is new. So we are seeing that now, because of the climate advocacy, our government and our leaders are seeing, hey, this is an important thing, and we need to empower our youth, who's the next generation. And right now, I'm going to use this opportunity also to plug our Bahamas Reef Environment Educational Foundation's BREEFS Eco Schools. So our Eco Schools program, did any of you happen to go to any Eco Schools? Did you go to?
You went to something with Brief, though, with Sam.
What school did you go to?
High school?
Yeah.
SAC.
You went to SAC. So SAC doesn't have an Eco School. I think SAC is registered now. And so what school did you
go to? I went to CB Bethel.
CB Bethel. CB Bethel was involved. They used to. I'm not 100% if they're still on. But SAC and CB Bethel, if you're under the sound of our voice, here's the call. Look at the beautiful products of your school, right? These shining students from your schools. This is, imagine how many more students can be like Wainisha and Javon if we included more environmental education, right, and sustainability education in our schools. And it's not like you have to reinvent the wheel.
No.
There's a lot that BREEFS teaches, right? that can be a presentation for maybe a science class, your English class, your a field trip, you know. So these aren't things that are far out of your reach. So teachers and parents who are under, and even students under the sound of my voice here on the radio, go and check out Brief's Eco Schools Problem. Go on brief.org and see, call us and see how your school could get involved in Eco Schools to learn more about environmental conservation and sustainability. But with all of this being said as well, I want to ask Javon and Wenisha, you know, now our schools have, we have seen them grow so much environmentally, right? And I mean in the sense of, you know, at Brief, we go from school to school in the Bahamas, and we're seeing now more gardens in schools,
yeah.
Right? So students are interested. We're seeing students going on and being involved in more mangrove field trips, Brief snorkeling field trips, rocky shores, where you're learning about the Bahamian marine environment, right? And so the interest seems like it's growing. Some schools are eating more healthy choices, right? That's also sustainable. They're buying locally. They're yeah. selling the produce from their gardens to go back into their gardening programs in schools. And the BGCSE curriculum, you know, as far as like fisheries, like our conchs and crawfish and stuff like that, they are kind of amping it up. So we see some improvement in schools and the desire to incorporate more environmental education. Beyond that, because that is, you know, that's something that we really kind of is a little bit out of our control. But I just want to hear from you your suggestions on what can other young people like yourselves and the ones who are still in school do to get involved with climate action on their levels. They may not be the youth climate ambassador, but what are some things that they can do to start living sustainably? And also, if they're interested in going into, getting into what you guys are into, how do they go about doing that?
I'll actually echo the words of our SDG ambassador, Samantha. She always starts with this. She would say, it starts like at home. And you said it just now, basically shopping locally. Leaving the Sheins and Temus alone, and you know, buying locally, outsourcing locally as well. As simple as cutting down long showers. You know, sometimes we had a long day at work, but the shower don't have to be 2 hours. You know, even when it comes to, I feel like I'm kind of contradicting myself because I love Amazon. You know,
we all do.
Yeah, I love Amazon. I love to order things from, but I've actually had to like cut back a lot because I'm like so much boxes, so much things not being recycled, and you know I just hate to see it, and I cut back a lot, and now I've been trying to shop locally, and you know I've been finding like affordable fresh markets, etc. So little things like that is just head starts and little starts that you can do to be more climate friendly and more environment friendly as well. And when it comes to different youth opportunities, you know, I do encourage any young person to apply for the Climate Youth Ambassador Program. We just selected new ambassadors that'll be announced shortly, but it is a yearly thing. And if you're not selected for that, we also have a council where like you work with the ambassadors over the year, and you know, you still get to be a part of those projects, whether it's school tours, etc. Or just be like me. I always tell young people, we're always on social media, TikTok, Facebook, you know, use Google just to find youth opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been doing it since I was 16 years old. Just typing in youth opportunities and climate change, you know, getting certified. The UNFCCC has numerous certification courses for free with certificates where you can complete some of the courses in like 3-4 hours, you know. And like we said earlier, like everything is education. So I feel like once you start at home, then you educate yourself, then you're only setting up yourself for greatness from there.
Yeah, I second that. And when you were talking about shopping locally, because boy, you know, Amazon, Shein, Tmall, there's
the options.
They come clutch,
yeah.
Right? Especially when you need something quick and affordable, and you know, so those are the trade-offs, right? But like you said, it does have to do a lot with pollution and consumption, and you know, you know, your trash can is like, we tell people to use reusable water bottles, not plastic bottles, because your trash can will be full in 2 hours, right? And then, you know, it's rimming over, it's going into the road, you have a lot of rats now. That's a public health issue, right? So it's escalated. We also have, you know, all those boxes and stuff. If you don't, so a good rule of thumb, and this is what I do, when you go online, you're looking at things and you're just like, ooh, I like this, right? Ask yourself, do I really, really need it?
Right.
Do I really, really need it? Because guess what? You'll end up saving yourself some cash if you realize you don't, right?
Yeah.
And then that money could go towards something else that you really need, right? So that's my rule of thumb. But Jervon, any ideas on for the youth, any other suggestions on how the youth can be more involved in climate advocacy?
Yeah, I think it definitely starts with getting informed. And getting informed, like Wanisha was saying, is as simple as a Google search. Like, if it's hot outside, you could feel the heat. You could easily go and say why it's so hot. And I'm pretty sure a lot of things about climate change are going to come up, and you can educate yourself. And so, like, getting into the practice of educating yourself around the issues and then spreading that knowledge to other people, that's already climate advocacy. If you look it up and say, it's hot because such and such a thing, and then you turn to your mommy, your brother, your sister, you say, y'all, it's hot because such and such a thing, and you have a discussion, that's already climate advocacy. I think the next step is to go outside. It don't make sense you learn all this about climate change and then you have no attachment to the thing that you're trying to protect. Like, fall in love with the Bahamian environment, our ecosystems.
Yes.
Go see the coral reefs, go see the mangroves, fall in love with the space around you and become attached to that. Have a sense of national pride in that, because that's what drives your climate advocacy. That's why you're out there yapping and doing the different actions, getting involved with the different groups, planting the mangroves, doing all this work, because you want to see these things last into the future. You want to see our islands, and you want Bahamians to be able to benefit from these natural environments for a long time to come. And so getting informed and then going outside to get involved with the actual tangible nature that's out there is like the two most important steps.
Yes.
I think to get higher up in the level is you find those opportunities once you're outside connecting with people, because once you're outside connecting with people or connecting with the established groups, like you could come to Brief, you could go to BNT, there are opportunities embedded in that. There will be opportunities to go to the summer camp, to do a summer internship. And as you keep getting up, you keep connecting with new people, you'll be connected on, get your LinkedIn sorted out, or whatever it is you need, you'll be connected with people and they'll be sharing opportunities. And like, I am so much WhatsApp group right now, every day there's like 20 opportunities coming through, and I have to start fielding the people I know, okay, you might be a good fit for this, you might be. So get involved with people, and the people who you're involved with will help you move along the way.
That's awesome. That's great advice. And I love that you pointed out, you know, get into the environment. You know, sometimes you're like, oh, it's so hot. It's too hot to go outside. Well, it's not too hot to go to the beach. You know what I mean? That's a great activity, and it's something that's at your fingertips, basically, right? You can find several beaches in Nassau. And then also getting involved with environmental programs. We have several. We've had several people on the show. And we've had several initiatives done. I remember Coastal Cleanup Awareness Day, the Bahamas Youth Climate Ambassadors were involved in that. That was something that if you follow, you can jump on as well, and you can get in touch with people who are like-minded, who are also passionate about these things. Brief has regular snorkels. Follow Brief. Hey guys, follow Brief at Brief242 on social media, BREEF242 on Instagram and Facebook. And we will let you know when we have events coming up. A lot of opportunities for students to learn, a lot of opportunities for teachers to teach, a lot of materials as well we have for teachers in the office that you need if you want to teach more about climate change and sustainability. And getting into the environment is just so important. And I remember that somebody said it's so important to be grounded. And you know, we think, oh, we're so tired, and we're too tired, and we're so stressed out. Well, maybe we need to go and connect. Maybe we need to go and reconnect at the beach or in the mangroves near, you know, near where we live, or, you know what I mean? Go outside and catch a little bit of sun. But I'm going to shift a little bit over to the Bahamas Youth Climate Conference that we had this year. It is an annual conference. It was great. I also had the pleasure of representing Brief, one of the speaking panels. And you spoke as well. We both spoke at the Youth Climate. What do you think made this year's Youth Climate Conference special? We know we had students from all across the Bahamas here, so it was like just in a way it was an assembly of sorts, right? Yeah. A national assembly of passionate students who were cared about the environment and sustainability. What made this year special?
I feel like this year I met even more inquisitive thinkers. I had a lot of side conversations with young persons from mainly Family Islands, wanting to know like what more they can do at home. And it just really was such a heartfelt moment for me, just to see, you know, heartwarming moment, I mean, for me to see like just young people, like the person who I spoke to in particular, he's just 14 years old. And he was like, yeah, you know, I love the environment. Getting ready to go to high school, and I want to start. This is the issue that we're having back home, and how can I fix this? Like, how can I raise awareness for this? And I also just told them one thing that's been very popular recently is that a lot of organizations, even globally, are funding climate action projects,
especially
being from like Andres, Cat Island, being from the Bahamas, and facing real climate like things that we aren't even experiencing here in a city, in Nassau, you know, droughts on some islands, fires, like just starting out of nowhere, burning up crops, like just certain stories that I were hearing. Like I just felt like this year brought some amazing, amazing young people, inquisitive thinkers, and not just that, young people that want to act. Mm-hmm. And I feel, and that's basically what our whole conference was about, you know, action, 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 because we can show up, we can educate ourselves, we can learn, but if we are keeping that information for ourselves and not actually helping the persons and our home, like, it's a waste of time, a waste of resources. And I just said this the other day when I was in a meeting, like, if you are in a space, no matter what level you're at, and you're not educating the next person behind you, and you're not like outsourcing that information to the next young person, you are wasting your time, and you are not impactful at all if you're keeping all of that to yourself. So Javon and I, we didn't aspire to be ambassadors for 5 years. We didn't need that. We needed 1 year, one term to make it impactful and to outsource that to someone else. So now I'm so happy for the new ambassadors. I'm like, use my number, reach out to me. The board that we have, reach out to me, let me know what you're doing. You have any projects you're starting, call me. I want to be a part, because that's how we bring real change. Young persons collaborating and working together. And I did get some contacts at the conference from some young persons on the Family Islands with even a project that I'm working on. And I plan on, you know, going to the Family Islands. So collaboration, I see it. I feel like a lot of collaboration and connections came from this year's conference. And the main idea, which is action, action, action in climate action, is what the young persons took away from it.
That's beautiful. Now, we're almost out of time, but so I want the two of you, in a nutshell, to answer this very last question for me. How can older generations and decision makers better support youth climate leaders? And I want this to be your last words, right? As you head out of this position, just in a nutshell, tell me, how can older generations and decision makers better support youth climate leaders?
I think our conference and our ambassadorship really kind of exemplifies this. At the conference, we had the YAP session, which was like sort of the intergenerational climate circle. And what we really wanted to be was a space where you had this cross dialogue, where you had people from different generations and people from different sectors communicating at a level that was efficient and able to produce good results. And that's what I think is really needed from the older generation. We need listening and talking. We don't want to like cut off your wisdom, but we also want our new ideas to enter into the space. I think with the ambassadorship as well, it offers youth the credibility to be at the table and for our voice to not only be heard, but to be valued. It's like having us be in the room and heard, and we can talk and everything, but none of that ends up into anything beyond just the talking is not what we need. We need the credibility and the acceptance of our ideas as well.
100%. So Anisha?
I echo the sentiments of Javon. I don't have to even add on to that. Everything that he said, and like I said, the older generation, all I want to see is them using the power that they have to continue to empower young people, to continue to invite us to decision-making places, and to continue to include us. Because like I said, I always say that we're not the next, we're not the future, we're the now.
Yes, wonderful. And that perfectly goes into what I was about to say. In closing, everyone, thank you so much, Wayne Yusha and Javon. You were amazing today. But thank you also to our listening audience. I hope we inspired you today with this conversation. Remember, youth aren't just the leaders of tomorrow, they are the change makers of today. So let's keep amplifying their voices, supporting their initiatives, and working together for a more sustainable future. Thank you so much for tuning in to our Blue Bahamas podcast.